The Agriculture, Conservation, and Resiliency Subcommittee will now come to order. Missy, please call the roll.
Chair Buchanan.
Here.
Vice Chair Roth.
Here.
Ranking Member Skidmore.
Here.
Representative Abbott.
Here.
Representative Alvarez.
Here.
Representative Antone.
Here.
Representative Bartleman.
Here.
Representative Botana.
Here.
Representative Brackett.
Here.
Representative Bisado Cabrera. Representative Cassell.
Here.
Representative Cheney is excused. Representative Esposito.
Here.
Representative Hunshofsky.
Here.
Representative Mooney.
Here.
Representative Steele.
Here.
Representative Trunau.
Here.
Representative Tuck.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Members and announcements, I just want to remind everyone to make sure you move your electronic devices to silent or turn them off for the duration of our meeting here today. All right, members, today we have four bills on the agenda, and so we'll get started here. Why don't we begin with HB 1149, carbon sequestration, with Representative Mazzullo. Representative Mazzullo, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Chair Buchanan. Good morning, members. HB 1149 requires the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Affairs to set up a program to study carbon sequestration activities and try to devise carbon credits for our ag industry as well as our public lands. A carbon credit is an amount of carbon dioxide that is actually captured. It represents 1 ton of carbon dioxide. And to put it in terms that we might be able to understand, 1 ton of carbon dioxide is about as much as if you would burn 102 gallons of gasoline. And that would get you back and forth from Miami to Tallahassee about 12 times. So to put it in a little perspective, how does our land consume carbon dioxide? Well, an acre of farmland can provide from 0.5 to 3 carbon credits per year. And the reason that is different crops consume carbon dioxide at different rates. Actually, there are certain companies that help farmers improve their tillage rates to be able to consume a half more credit of carbon dioxide per year. These credits sell from anywhere from $10 a credit, in some markets $30 a credit. And we have currently in Florida about 9.7 million acres of farmland. There are 2.6 million acres of aquatic preserves, which has seagrass, which actually consumes more carbon than a rainforest, and 18 million acres of our wildlife corridor, and that actually hopefully will be growing after some of the bills that we're going to pass this year. What does that mean to our state? That means we could have basically another $200 million in revenue per year coming into our state with these credits. This is simply a study to look at the feasibility, and that, Mr. Chair, is the bill.
Thank you for that explanation, Representative Mazzullo. Members, we're in questions on the bill. Questions on the bill. Questions? Vice Chair Roth, recognized for a question.
So thank you, Chair Mazzullo, for this great bill. It's really what I read, and when I read the narrative on the bill, that this was a this is an effort that's going to help, among other agricultural segments, it's going to help the forestry industry. And the idea of increasing our green footprint in areas and increasing the population of trees and increasing having better practices and stuff and all that. So could you give me a little bit better idea of what the study is looking for? Is it looking for to figure out how to do a carbon credit program, or what exactly is the study trying to do?
Representative Mazzullo, you are.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Roth, for that question. Yes, that's exactly what the study is trying to do. It's going to set up an exchange or look at the ability of the state. There's currently carbon credit programs now. You as a farmer could participate. You can hire a broker. You could get on the registry, you can look at your land, they can quantitate and qualitate the amount of carbon, whatever you're growing, consumes, and you could actually sell those credits. And those credits are used, as you know, for other type of industries that are, I would say, not carbon negative, they're carbon positive, like we as human beings. We consume oxygen, we put off CO2. cattle consumes oxygen, puts off CO2, methane, other type things that are what's considered greenhouse gases. Now, I do believe our climate's changing. I don't believe it's truly based on our carbon. I think it has more to do with the cyclical nature of our sun and the world and how things have changed over the last however many years our world has been here, and there's a debate about that as well. But in any case, certainly there's a huge market for this, particularly overseas, particularly in the third world, and I think that our state should be in the business of helping our farmers and our public lands retain as much money as they can.
Do you have a follow-up, Vice Chair?
Yes, I do. So in agriculture, obviously, we'd love to get paid for doing stuff we're already doing. Obviously, we're protecting green space. We're water recharge and all kinds of things, carbon sequestration. Obviously, it would make logical sense to promote those activities that we're already doing. But my question is this study going to lead, you think this study is going to lead to a carbon tax, which would be a tax on hydrofuels, a carbon-based, petroleum-based fuels? It would lead to a tax?
Representative Mazzullo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, it won't lead to a tax at all. All it's to do is to see if the state has feasibility of setting up a program where different state agencies and also private public partnerships or even private lands could go to see if they would qualify for carbon credits and perhaps even set up a market for those. There are third parties all over this country that do this kind of work. I'd like to see our state, at least if not use them as vendors, be in the actual practice of facilitating it for those individuals that would be interested.
Members, questions? Questions? Representative Steele with a question.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for this bill. I just have a real quick question. I know that right now you can sell land credits to do massive developments in areas where development is restricted, and so is this going to be something that when you do this credit, it's actually going to lose the future land use of that property that sells the credit, the carbon credit?
Representative Mazzullo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Normally, these credits are sold annually, so you would have to tie the land up for the point in time that you would be involved with the credit, which is usually just 1 year.
Members, questions? Representative Cassell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for this good bill. I'm curious with regards to the study. Is the study going to look at any places in Florida where we are having high levels of production of carbon, such as in our landfills with organic food waste materials, and how we can reduce that? Or is this simply to look at it from the agriculture perspective and not taking it into consideration where those high levels are coming from?
Representative Mazzullo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, it's only going to look at the ability to actually establish this credit market. It's not going to look at where we're producing more carbon, such as the landfills and industry. However, the credits will be available to those entities to make them more carbon neutral. There's two ways an entity can become carbon neutral. Either they could stop producing carbon, or like we have with our mitigation banks for development of wetlands, we can actually go and purchase credits that offset the carbon that we produce.
Questions? See no further questions. We're on to amendments. I do see we have an amendment by Representative Mazzullo, barcode 864385. Representative Mazzullo, you're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment basically just allows the act to become law once it's signed by the governor. This will give the Department of Agriculture a little more time to get to that October 1 date to when the study will be due. So we can take a look at it next year once we get into committees and decide if we want to then propose a bill that would actually establish this program.
Thank you for that explanation, Representative Mazzullo. Do we have any questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, is there public testimony? Seeing no public testimony on the amendment, we're in debate. Debate on the amendment? No debate on the amendment. Representative Mazzullo, you're recognized to close.
We've closed.
Representative Mazzullo has closed on the amendment. Is there any opposition to the amendment? Seeing no opposition to the amendment, let's show it as adopted. We are back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill? Up first, we have Sabrina Sanford White representing herself. Sabrina, you're welcome to come to the well here.
For wanting to put Florida first with carbon sequestration, and I want to basically inform the body here that this is definitely going to be a carbon tax. It's coming. It's already all around the world, okay? The European Union, Australia, all of the various European nations are already implementing it. The carbon sequestration, we don't need to spend money on studies for this. They have already been done. The UN has done studies, NASA has done studies, and the Smithsonian has done studies. They're available to us. We do not need to waste Florida taxpayer dollars for that. Although I do appreciate us wanting to be the first, we have a natural ability here in Florida to capture those credits. I just want you to make sure that you're doing it the correct way, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you for your testimony, Sabrina. Up next, we have Garrett Wallace with the Nature Conservancy, waving in support. Any further public testimony? Seeing no further public testimony, members, we're in debate. Debate on the bill. Debate on the bill. Vice Chair Roth, recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Chair Mazzullo, for this great bill. What I like about this, and I'm up on the bill, what I like about this bill is we are going to look further into carbon sequestration. I do want to make a comment that I think is important to understand. It's unfortunate in today's world that it's very difficult for us to truly know all the facts about what's going on with the oil and natural gas industry and carbon, CO2 increases. But there is a lot of information out there that proves that CO2 is not actually a problem. It actually has led to the greening of the planet. We have more forests, more trees in the world today than we did 100 years ago. We have less, the Sahara Desert has actually shrunk because of increased CO2. CO2 really increases the amount of plant life, and so it's not what everybody's saying that's a natural thing. So the reason I'm saying all this is to say I am concerned about putting a tax on carbon to try to discourage people from using fossil fuels and move to other directions by a tax, because I'm telling people that it's not actually a problem. What is actually interesting, I'll make one more final point, it was just announced a couple of days ago that the Biden administration put $6 billion into the nuclear power industry. So there's a lot of really good ways. And with this bill, we can look at how the forestry industry and other agriculture can help carbon sequestration. But if it's leading to a carbon tax, I think that's the wrong direction. But I am up on the bill. Thank you.
Members, debate. Debate on the bill. Seeing no further debate, Representative Mazzullo, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to thank the lady that came up here to testify. This bill has nothing to do with putting a tax on carbon. I don't think the state of Florida will put a tax on carbon. There may be some taxes that are applied to us nationally. It has nothing to do with this bill. And she is also correct. There are several studies that qualitate and quantitate the sequestration of carbon. This study will only allow the FDACs to set up a program to be able to use those studies to be able to have a facilitate our farmers and our public lands to be able to access money for credits. that then those credits can be sold to those entities that are taxed and that need to become carbon neutral, otherwise they would have to pay more of a tax on. It wouldn't have to do with taxing Floridians. It has to do with Floridians being able to access money because of these programs. And I agree with you 100%. There's more forced. As a matter of fact, the idea I got for this bill came from Alaska. Alaska uses this with their timber industry. It was the only state that I could find that actually has a state program, and we would be the second in the state. But I also want this to be on private lands as well as public. And with that, I close, Mr. Chair.
Missy, please call the roll.
Representatives Abbott. Alvarez.
Yay.
Antone.
Yes.
Bartleman.
Yes.
Botana.
Yes.
Brackett.
Yes.
Quesada Cabrera.
Yes.
Cassell.
Yes.
Esposito.
Yes.
Unshofsky.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Roth.
Yes.
Skidmore.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
Trunow.
Yes.
Tuck.
Yes.
Chair Buchanan.
Yes. Members, by your vote, show the bill is reported favorably with a committee substitute. Congratulations, Representative Mazzullo.
Thank you very much, committee. Have a wonderful day.
Members, up next, we're going to hear from Representative Altman, HB 1489, designation of Brevard Barrier Island area as an area of critical state concern. Representative Altman, you are recognized to explain HB 1489.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This designation in House Bill 1489, creating an area of critical state concern in our South Beaches, will provide heightened protection and land management for the vital ecosystem beginning at the southern boundary of Melbourne Beach, extending down to the Sebastian State Inlet State Park. Florida created this process of critical area concern back in 92. Areas such as Apalachicola Bay, Florida Keys, Green Swamp, those are areas that have been designated in the past and have really paid great dividends in protecting the unique nature there. This part of the Barrier Island is one of the most fragile and endangered coastal ecosystems in North America. It's the world's largest aggregation of loggerhead sea turtles, the largest nesting area for these very threatened species. Specifically, it was in the area of the largest sea trout fishing area in the world. It's the trout capital of the world. We've lost 90% of that species. We've lost significant portions of our seagrasses and our fragile coastal ecosystem there. The stretch of this beach also encompasses Archie Carr National Wildlife Refuge, one of the nation's youngest wildlife refuge there, put there to, again, protect nesting sea turtles. The estuary to the west side of the Barrier Island is designated as an estuary of national significance. So this area is unique. It's fragile. We also think it's the area where Ponce de Leon landed when he came across the sea. Now, folks at St. Ives team may debate a little bit with us on that one, but it's a friendly battle we have. Kind of like Florida State. And that's the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you for that explanation, members. Are there questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Vice Chair Roth for a question.
Chair, you don't have to let me go first, but I do appreciate it. Thank you, Chair. Representative Altman, as a farmer, I sometimes I'm a little bit concerned about efforts to designate certain rivers and designate certain bodies of water because it brings in a lot more regulation. One example, I have a question. One of the examples is the Loxahatchee National Wildlife Refuge, which is we also know as Conservation Area 1 in Palm Beach County. And by being a federally designated entity, that just brings a lot more regulation. So my concern is, you know, who is the local community? Is there a town, Melbourne Beach, or anybody? Is there somebody that local people that are supporting this effort?
Representative Altman, you're recognized.
Thank you. Yes, there's overwhelming public support. The area south of Melbourne Beach is developed. there's a population that lives there. It's about a 20-mile-long stretch of beach, and it's probably more than half developed. There's pretty stringent guidelines that have been set in place. Actually, back in the 80s, the county did a wonderful job of creating a future land use plan, lower densities, increased breezeways, and lowered the height. And it's a really, really well-planned community. But just of late, with the development pressure we're seeing, there's efforts and talk about increasing these densities and making it more intensive as we see throughout the state. So this will, I think, prevent bad land use decisions in the future, and it will ensure that whatever decisions are made will protect these very fragile resources. There used to be citrus on this Barrier Island, but they're gone. The land's been developed. And the other thing this will protect is there's no causeway. The nearest causeway is down in Sebastian, and from Sebastian to Melbourne, there's no bridge. And so hurricane evacuation is a significant concern as well as if you were to see increased densities on this Barrier Island, it would push a lot of traffic down to Vero and up to Indian Atlantic. Again, I think there's some pretty good planning in place. I think this is more of a preventative, preemptive nature than, let's say, taking an area that's kind of a blank slate.
Vice Chair Roth, follow up.
I apologize, but I'm in Palm Beach County, and we've had a lot of good efforts over the years to restrict development, because we know that if we don't, you know, all the land's going to be taken up and you're going to be wall-to-wall people. And so there's a lot of bluff areas up around Juneau Beach and all that. So it's a good idea in general to be careful. So would you phrase this as being restricting development or totally stopping development in this stretch of beach? Does it totally stop development?
Representative Altman.
Not at all. It's more of restricting and controlling and managing development to ensure that the proper steps are taken to protect the natural resources. This unique dune system that's the leading nesting area in the world for loggerheads, this unique and fragile lagoon to the west, the state park, I don't know if it still is, but it was the most visited state park in the state to prevent excessive traffic and problems when it comes to hurricane evacuation. I could go on and on. It's a very fragile area, and it's unique.
Members, we're in questions. Ranking Member Skidmore for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Altman. Quick question on the trout population. So 90% of it has been killed off. What were the causes, and does the critical area of concern designation help provide some mitigation to that, or some way of trying to fix that and the seagrass die-off?
Representative Altman, you're recognized.
The actually, Brevard, Indian River County, St. Lucie County, was the trout capital of the world. And all the world record trout were caught in this region. And probably the most healthy trout population that exists is right near Sebastian Inlet, because of the inlet flushing and because the county has done a really good job in controlling development in the South Beaches. And so it's kind of one of the last, I wouldn't say it's healthy, but it's hanging on population. So I think one of the things that this will do in terms of shoreline preservation, shoreline management, making sure runoff is controlled properly. It will protect what's left of that trout population, because once you get up into Melbourne and Cocoa, it's been decimated. We've lost 90% of our seagrass. That's why, you know, we've seen 1,000 manatees die. So this is probably the last remaining area that we have that has a relatively healthy population. So I think helping sustain what we have, and then as we do what we need to do to seagrass restoration, what have you, water quality improvements, bring that population back.
Ranking Member, did you have a follow-up? Members, we're in questions. Representative True now with a question.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, is your local delegation in favor of this measure?
Representative Altman, you're recognized.
I have received no opposition from any of the delegation members, and one of our delegation members is a Senate sponsor, Senator Wright. And I've spoken with numerous delegation members.
Rep. Chair now, follow up.
Thank you, Chair. Could this measure be done at the local level?
Representative Altman, you're recognized.
What this is I'll say no. What this is an extra level of protection. And I think that the commission we have now is a very good commission, concerned about the South Beaches, but we're seeing immense development pressure. And you never know what changes could happen, and there's been a movement toward increasing the densities in the South Beaches. So what this does is it provides an extra level of protection that if a local government were to make land use decisions that would endanger this, what is a regional, statewide, and even international resource in our South Beaches.
Members' questions? Representative Trunell with a follow-up.
Thank you, Chair. So these areas of concern, have any of the folks that own these properties have raised any level of concern about changing their designation for future development?
Representative Altman.
I'm not aware of what I have received is just overwhelming public support. And you mentioned the delegation. This bill was an outgrowth of our delegation meeting where we had a significant number of residents of the South Beaches and the entire beach community come out to our delegation meeting voicing concerns that they were seeing development pressures and requests for increased densities. These are not requests to build. No one's prevented from building in the South Beaches, but what these requests are density increases, doing away with height restrictions. It's a really well-planned community. It's more of a preventive measure than anything else.
Representative Mooney has a question.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you, Rep. Altman. It's a great bill. I live in an area of critical state concern, so I can tell you that most of us didn't like it initially when it was imposed on us in Monroe County. Flip side is we are so happy we have it right now that, we do backflips every day. I guess my question to you is, though, is your community really prepared for some of what's going to come down from the state level when it comes to the designations and the different types of restrictions that the state will impose in area of critical state concerns? And are you prepared basically to probably in all likelihood have to do a central sewage system if you're not sewered?
Representative Altman.
I think so. I think the county has really done a good job to the state of laying the framework for, I know when I was with the county in the 80s, we reduced the number of units with a density reduction plan by 15,000. We lowered the height restriction, which was unlimited, to about 35, 40 feet in the South Beaches. That's because it's a two-lane road. There's only one causeway to the north and one to the south in an area about 40, 50 miles. So I think that I think they are ready. I don't foresee an extreme change. It's probably more of a fine-tuning than anything. You probably know more about this process than anybody in this building, and I think that it's really good to hear that it's working. Your problem down there is much more critical and complex. I mean, it's very long series of keys, and I don't think this is going to be as intense and difficult to plan for. It's a much shorter stretch of land.
Members, questions? Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, we'll move into amendments. We do have an amendment by Representative Altman. Representative Altman, you are recognized to explain amendment barcode 847261.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a very simple amendment. It's actually a technical amendment. It corrects a drafting error on line 67 of the bill, changes the word protect, singular protect, to protects, plural.
Thank you for that explanation.
Add one letter. Yes, yeah.
Members, questions on this technical amendment? Seeing no questions, is there public testimony on the amendment? No public testimony, debate on the amendment? Representative Altman, you're recognized to waive close on the amendment.
I waive close.
Is there anyone opposed to the amendment? Seeing no opposition to the amendment, let's show it as adopted. Let's move on to the bill as amended. We are on public testimony on the bill. Up first, we have Jane West with 1,000 Friends of Florida, is a proponent. You're recognized.
Good morning, thank you. Jane West, I'm the Policy and Planning Director for 1,000 Friends of Florida. And we strongly support this good bill, though I will take issue with Rep. Altman's assertion that Ponce de Leon landed there. He clearly landed in St. Augustine, where I hail from. But I really want to encourage a yes vote on this bill. It allows for that extra layer of protection for this very vulnerable, fragile ecosystem. And quite frankly, it needs all the help it can get. I had the privilege recently of kayaking the Indian River Lagoon with my sons and could not believe the devastation of the seagrass beds in the Indian River Lagoon. And this bill does take steps to address revitalization of seagrass in the Indian River Lagoon. And to Rep. Trunell's point, there are also steps within areas of critical state concern to remove the designation if certain criteria are met. And so it's not a forever label for this area. So if the local government, together with DEO and DEP, meet those criteria, then we can get that label removed. And Rep. Mooney, thank you so much for saying that initially the Florida Keys fought the area of critical state concern, but now really have embraced it because they understand the protections that it affords has really helped the Keys thrive. So we would strongly urge a yes vote for this good bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. West. Is there any further public testimony? Seeing no further public testimony, we'll move on to debate. Members in debate, Representative Bartleman in debate.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to thank Chair Altman for bringing this bill forward. I also want to point out that this is one of my top emails I'm getting. Your community has mobilized. I think we have over 500 or 600 emails in my box right now in support for this bill. So in terms of local and community support, you have it, and they're sending it to someone in Broward County. That's how important it is to them. So thank you very much.
Representative Brackett in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank Representative Altman for bringing this. I am on the local delegation, Representative Altman. The delegation was brought to us at our delegation meeting. There's a tremendous amount of support for this. Part of this land runs through part of my district towards the Sebastian Inlet area. It's a very unique piece of land that's grown over the years, but I think that it's going to struggle to continue to grow and handle the density that some people are wanting to do to it. It's a two-lane road, as was stated, in and out. The closest bridge to the south is probably 35 miles to the north. A little closer, but still through Melbourne Beach area to get to it, or into Melbourne, actually, 192. So I thank you for bringing it. I think it's a good bill. And, again, there's a tremendous amount of local support for it all the way across the board. Thank you.
Members debate. Any further debate? Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Altman, you're recognized to close on HB 1489.
I waive close.
Rep. Altman waives close. Missy, please call the roll.
Representatives Abbott, Alvarez.
Yay.
Antone.
Yes.
Bartleman.
Yes.
Botana.
Yes.
Brackett.
Yes.
Quesada Cabrera.
Yes.
Cassell. Esposito.
Yes.
Hunchowski.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Roth.
Yes.
Skidmore.
Yes.
Steele.
Yes.
Trunell.
Yes.
Tuck.
Yes.
Chair Buchanan.
Yes. Members, by your vote, show the bill is reported favorably with the committee substitute. Representative Roth, Representative Altman. Representative Roth's been active here today. Representative Altman, congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Up next, that was actually a great parlay into our next bill. Representative Robinson will be presenting HB 1181, Seagrass Restoration. Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Ranking Member, members of the committee. It's actually great to be back here for the first time, I think, since my freshman term. Great subcommittee, and y'all do great work. An article actually in my local paper read as follows: seagrass is dying by Tampa and Sarasota as red tide worsens. Is Florida doing enough? House Bill 1181 creates the Florida Seagrass Restoration Technology Development Initiative, a new partnership between the Department of the Environmental Protection, Moat Marine Laboratory, and the University of Florida. In recent years, seagrasses along both coasts have rapidly been lost. House Bill 1181 seeks to address this issue and build upon a strong partnership between nursery, restoration practitioners, top marine scientists, and our marine community to generate a sustainable source of genetically resilient and naturally reproducing Florida seagrass. House Bill 1181 creates a five-year partnership and structure with $2 million per year funding managed by Moat Marine. The bill utilizes existing information in approved DEP plans and FWC seagrass reports, such as existing public efforts and expenses, with cutting-edge science to build resilient coastal systems within the strategic framework of the 10-year statewide restoration plan. Finally, this bill establishes the Initiative Technologically Advisory Council, consisting of experts in marine science, technology development, and natural resource management representatives from the state's aquatic preserves. For those that are juniors or seniors, and maybe like Representative Antone, freshmen that are really not freshmen, you'll remember the Red Tide Initiative. We had terrible red tide, and we're doing kind of the same thing, but with seagrass. And I've actually seen personal experience in the red tide situation of how great these partnerships can work in Florida, and so I'm very hopeful with this bill we can replicate the exact same thing. That's the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for that explanation, Representative Robinson. Members, questions on the bill? Are there questions? Questions on Representative Trunau, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, how much does it cost to plant an acre of seagrass?
Representative Robinson, you're recognized.
I didn't realize this was my first bill, but maybe it's my first bill. Did I open up that door?
Yeah.
I will have to get that information to you.
You haven't been here in a while.
I'll get that information to you. There's maybe some experts I could speak to that, but thank you.
Follow-up, Representative Trunau.
So looking forward, you know, we're losing a lot of seagrass in different places. Are we changing varieties? Are we looking at varieties that would be better in the right place?
Representative Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think that's the purpose of the bill, is to make sure you have the genetic scientists that can figure that out, as opposed to a hodgepodge approach throughout the state. So that's the purpose of this bill, to make sure we're doing it the right way.
Members, questions? Any more questions, members? Seeing no further questions, we do have an amendment. Representative Robinson has brought forward an amendment, barcode 757413. Representative Robinson, you're recognized to explain that amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is why we have such great staff in the House. This amendment corrects a typographical error. It shouldn't be aquatic reserve program, should be aquatic preserve program. That's the amendment.
We do have great staff, and thank you for that explanation. Members, questions on that amendment? Questions seen, no questions. Public testimony? No public testimony. Is there debate? No debate. Oh, what do we back it up to, debate? You recognize the debate, ranking member.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. Robinson. This is exactly what we need to be doing, and my legislation that would have created the Office of the Blue Economy is exactly what this does.
Ranking member, we are on the amendment, but
I'm so sorry. I thought you moved on.
We will come back. If you have something on the
not on the amendment,
okay.
The bill.
Representative Robinson, do you want to waive close? Okay. Representative Robinson's wave closed. Any opposition to this amendment? Seeing no opposition, let's show it is adopted. We're back on the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill? Dave Sheff, representing Moat Marine Laboratory. Waving in support. Up next, we have Sabrina Sander White, representing herself. Sabrina, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. It's Sabrina Sandifer White. I'm out of Northeast Florida. Mr. Robinson and Mr. Mazzullo have great bills, but they're in the wrong order. So this seagrass should have been brought up years ago. These studies have been done for 20 years.
We don't need a 10-year plan. We need a now plan. And it will also help with the bill for carbon sequestration, because let's be frank, it's not a matter of when or if. It's a matter of when these carbon tax credits come into effect, okay? If Florida wants to be on the cutting edge of it, as well as be a responsible stewards of our environment, then we will take the studies that have already been done by the EPA, NASA, various other places, and put those to work for the state and for the people so as to mitigate some of the costs that people are going to have associated with these carbon captures. Representative Trenton asked, how much is it going to cost? To reduce seagrass, NASA has a program called Citizen Science, and that leverages volunteers to help do certain things in the science field, whether it's monitoring temperatures, diving down and checking for sea turtles, various other things all over the world. And we could leverage that, and it would cost Florida citizens less. I just want you to be apprised of that. I don't oppose Mr. Robinson's actual bill. I oppose the time frame. So I just wanted to be clear on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Any further public testimony? Seeing no further public testimony. Members, we're in debate. I know Ranking Member Skidmore would love to debate, so you are recognized.
Thank you. Sorry about that premature. thank you for this legislation. You know that I have a large concern about all of the things that are happening in the state of Florida in regard to our natural resources and the economic health of our water resources. And I think that this is significant. There are experts, there are studies, but no one is pulling it all together. And that there is no action that has been happening in regard to those studies. So I think that this is an important step, and I am hopeful, as you are, that this organization that is going to be created will in fact be able to implement the things that we do know with the experts at MOAT and USF and UF and all around the state who have not been able to connect and create that pipeline of academic research, economic development, startup funding, and then the solution at the end of that pipeline to some of these issues that we're dealing with. Lack of seagrass is the result of the highest number of manatees dying, particularly in the Brevard area, Merritt Island and Melbourne and Sebastian. So I think that this is incredibly important, and I urge everyone on the committee to vote for it and to work with Representative Robinson in making sure that it gets implemented over the years. So thank you very much.
Members, debate. Representative Mooney in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Rep. Robinson. This is a great bill, totally different from last year's bill. You know, living again in the area of critical state concern in Monroe County, Moat Marine is an integral part of where we are down there. They have an amazing facility, and what they're able to do and glean from their research has been nothing short of amazing. So to that extent, you know, people don't understand about seagrass. There's multiple reasons why it dies. There's no one-size-fits-all here. And that's where Moat Marine has been, in my opinion, at the cutting edge. It's higher salinity. It's more acidic. There's just thousands of reasons why. But, you know, they're working hand-in-hand now with not only restoration and coral, but they're growing spider crabs, they're growing sea urchins. And so this is a natural progression into the overall ecosystem that is going to ultimately be of massive benefit to the state of Florida. So thank you for bringing this forward. This is long overdue. But, you know, to the young lady's point, though, a lot of that research compared to what we know today is sort of antiquated. Yes, it's out there, but in today's world, it's at warp speed. And I think that Rep. Buchanan, Dr. Crosby always reminds me, Rep. Buchanan was at Moat Marine as a child helping with manatees. So he gets it. And congratulations on this bill.
Members, debate, further debate. Representative Robinson, I want to thank you for bringing forward this bill. What's great about it is we're not trying to, you know, reinvent the wheel with this bill. We're looking at applying some of the same framework that we've applied as it relates to red tide research and coral restoration. So I really appreciate you bringing forward this bill, and I'm going to recognize you now to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple things. I can't wait to represent Troon Outcomes in front of civil justice. I'm looking forward to that time period in my career in the future. No, with all seriousness, I thank you for the conversation. Couldn't say it better than Ranking Member Skidmore, Representative Mooney said. It's really about the future of our state and to the concern with the audience with regard to the Red Tide Initiative. We're actually coming out with recommendations in year one, year two, year three. So that's the goal as well. We're not just going to wait till the 10th year to come out with all this stuff. But I think it's important work. You got great scientists that can solve this problem. And I ask for your support.
Seeing Representative Robinson is closed on HB 1181. Missy, please call the roll.
Representatives Abbott, Alvarez.
Yay.
Antone.
Yes.
Bartleman.
Yes.
Botana.
Yes.
Brackett.
Yes.
Usada Cabrera.
Yes.
Cassell.
Yes.
Esposito.
Yes.
Hanshofsky.
Yes.
Mooney.
Yes.
Roth.
Yes.
Skidmore. Steele.
Yes.
Trunell.
Yes.
Tuck.
Yes.
Chair Buchanan.
Yes. Members, by your vote, show the bill is reported favorably with a committee substitute.
Thank
Representative
you.
Robinson, congratulations.
Thank you.
Members, up next, certainly it is last for today, but it's not least, one of our very own committee members, Representative Alvarez, will be bringing forward HB 1279, Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. When you get to the podium, you are recognized, Representative Alvarez.
Chairman, Vice Chairman, Ranking Member, members of the committee, thank you very much. We know that in the last 4 years, we haven't seen a Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services bill come to you, or at least not one that's passed. So we filed one, and there's in the last four, we haven't had one. This today is my pride and honor to present to you the first one that's going to make it all the way and get that signature. So thank you for having me. This is the agency bill, and the bill is mostly made up of edits, definition changes, cleanups of policies to fit with the times and make sure we are operating as efficiently as possible in a manner that reflects our agricultural culture. I would like to highlight two major highlights. I know everyone's seen the bill or at least had a chance to read it, but one that I'm extremely proud of and that you will be too is the farm team card. Currently, when a farmer or anyone in the industry goes out, there are 25 exceptions to the sales tax policy in the state of Florida. Those 25 exceptions are granted today on an individual basis with each application. As you can imagine, 25 times, doing that 25 times and then it only expires and you have to do it every year, that can be burdensome. So what we're presenting today is a one-size-fits-all, one-time application farm team card, which allows the farmer or the agricultural industrialist to apply with the state of Florida, get vetted, receive a card that goes right in their wallet, and then they can get back to farming, and the businesses can get back to doing what they do, and the efficiencies of our state are increased. It's what we always promised to do, which is decrease the bureaucracy and reduce government, and I'm very, very proud, and it's going to be a big impact. The second major highlight is something that seems pretty logical, like keep Florida's money in Florida and let's support those who feed us. We always say buy Florida first, and without farmers, we don't eat, and we're going to put our money where our mouth is if we're going to lead by example. So what we're proposing is in the state of Florida, if you're a state agency, you are asked or required to the extent that you can to purchase Florida food or at least give it the highest level of your preference and prove it up that you have. We're going to request a report every single year to the governor's office and the speakers and the president of the Senate to prove up how much we've done and watch our impact. And you'll see we'll make a big impact by leading by example. Along with the other edits, ladies and gentlemen, that is your bill.
Thank you for that explanation, Representative Alvarez. Members, we're in questions. Representative Trunell for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill. Question, the team cards that you mentioned about tax exempt.
Yes, sir.
Where did the idea come from, and are there any other states that are doing this currently?
Rep. Alvarez.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And thank you for asking that question. Actually, that's a really great point. We are not leading on this one. We are actually following, which I You know, that's not a position I love to be in. But, you know, what our farmers, we listened to our farmers. And what we saw, actually, we actually watched our farmers. We watched our farmers cross into Georgia and use their card because it's easier to buy things over there and a whole lot faster. So we, you know, our commissioner now, you know, is a farmer. His staff is completely in tune. I'm in tune. And we heard the concerns and we answered.
Members, questions? Representative Trunell with a follow-up.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, Chair. Question, does it help with statement balances and following and tracking those purchases for accounting for taxes?
Representative Alvarez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, there's a reason I'm a lawyer and not an accountant, because I have no idea really what you just asked me, but I can ask the staff to follow up with you if you ask, if you need.
Members, questions? Ranking Member Skidmore with a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Rep. Alvarez, for the bill.
Yes, ma'am.
Having carried one of the department's packages before previously, there have been packages in
yes,
the past.
Ma'am.
So just clarifying that. But do have a question. There are a number of technical and advisory councils being eliminated. Can you tell us about those that are being eliminated and why they are no longer useful?
Representative Alvarez.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the recognition. So the current list of boards and councils the department oversees contain many that are inactive, inefficient, and recognized as unneeded. For example, some of them haven't met since they were born. Some of them haven't met in a couple years. For example, the Dairy Technical Council hasn't met since 2016. The Florida Young Farmers and Ranchers Advisory Council hasn't met since 2018. And the State Agricultural Advisory Council hasn't met for the last 8 years. So these that were identified were no longer either necessary or not meeting, so the department identified them as no longer needed.
Follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Understanding that they may have been created for a reason, have you looked at what their intended purpose was, and is that purpose being met somewhere else within DAX?
Representative Alvarez.
Thank you. To the extent that I've looked, I believe they are being met somewhere else, ma'am, but if not, then we'd have to follow up on that further.
Representative Cassell, the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the councils that's being deleted that you didn't mention was the Industrial Hemp Advisory Council. With respect to that council in particular, my understanding is the aim of that council was to explore the expansion of hemp as an agriculture crop, because of things that are occurring to our citrus crop. So in the absence of this council, is the department still going to continue that initiative that the Hemp Advisory Council was initiated for?
Representative Alvarez.
Thank you, Chair. Having done the examination and done a deep dive into which councils were required for their advisory needs, the department believes that they've got the hemp issue internally with their resources available to them in order to guide them going further. Yes, ma'am.
Rep. Cassell with a follow-up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Separate and apart from that, in Section 9 of the bill, you propose changing the conformance for bottled water processing.
Yes, ma'am.
To one department rule rather than with the Code of Federal Regulations. Is the Code of Federal Regulations incorporated into the department rule by reference? And if not, why?
Representative Alvarez.
That's really a good question, ma'am. I really appreciate that one. The changes that we actually made to the bottled water definition are almost verbatim taken from the code and put us in line with the Code of Federal Regulations. The idea is to mimic that so that we don't add extra burdensome language that is confusing to our bottlers, and that way we can be in line with federals.
Representative Cassell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And along that same lines with regards to changing the definition of bottled water, and we did have a chance to
yes,
talk
ma'am.
About this in preparation of today's meeting, but in line with changing the definition of bottled water, we are aligning it to be a consumable product for purposes of encouraging our state agencies and universities to purchase Florida bottled water. Is that sort of the goal of the bill as it pertains to the bottled water section?
Representative Alvarez.
Thank you, Chair. Forgive me. No, ma'am, that's not the goal of refining the definition. The refining of the definition is in order to align us and allow clarity so that it matches with federal separate and apart. You having brought that up was actually a great deep dive, meaning that if we have Florida water that is identified as Florida water, we should use that Florida water first. And I thought that was extremely smart to have pointed that out. Thank you.
Members, questions? Vice Chair Roth.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Rep, for spending time with me last night and going over this bill. It's really a bill to be proud of. It's got a lot of different parts to it. We had a great conversation about dual authorization of Department of Agriculture and Fish and Wildlife as it goes with agriculture. But I do have another question for you, which I should have asked last night. Could you give me a little more detail on why you need to authorize the department to adopt and implement an exemption, waiver, and variance process for the school nutrition program sponsors?
Representative Alvarez.
Yeah, that's one of those technical ones that require this actually allows them to in line with the federal regulation, as well as we have federal regulations that do school food. And then we also have been saying over time that we needed to just tighten that definition up and give them the authority to be able to make waivers and not so. So that's the reason why. Does that answer your question?
Vice Chair Roth.
Yeah, it does in part. What I'm still trying to grab a hold of is what type of issues do you have with program sponsors that you need a variance? I'm just, if you could give me an example.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Representative Alvarez.
Sorry, I got a little excited, sir. I see. It's more in line with the school food and nutrition program, and I don't think I'm going to answer your question fully without having to go back and get you more detail. But as we understand, that language was required by federal regulation, and we're coming in compliance with that one. To figure out why we needed those waivers, I'll have to get back to you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Members, questions? Questions on the bill? See no further questions. We do have three amendments. Let's start with the first one. Representative Alvarez has brought forward amendment barcode 844251. You're recognized to explain that amendment.
Thank you, Chair. This is a technical amendment that fixes the implementation date of the Farm Team Card. Our implementation date is going to be from January 1st, 2024, and that's going to give time to let DAX implement the card, and that is make sure. Additionally, we're going to allow a definition that says that fraud will only be found with the cardholder and not the business holder. Originally, when we created the first draft language, a concern came up that what would happen if someone committed some sort of fraud and who would be held responsible. So we are holding the ultimate end user responsible with this amendment and not the retailer. That is the amendment.
Members, questions on the amendment? Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions. Public testimony. No public testimony on the amendment. Debate. Debate on the amendment. Seeing no debate on the amendment. Representative Alvarez, you're recognized to close.
Way closer.
Is there any opposition to the amendment? Seeing no opposition to the amendment, let's show it is adopted. And let's move on to our next amendment. Representative Alvarez has brought forward amendment barcode 345969. You're recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is another technical amendment on the food safety portion dealing with food permit. This amendment is going to allow the department to charge a prorated fee on food permits. Right now, normally, you apply for your food permit to sell or deal in the sale of food, and that started in January. It was a year-long renewal process. Now we're going to allow you to apply, and then your date of renewal is the date you actually got your permit approved. So if you apply towards the end of the year, we didn't think it was fair that you would have to pay the entire fee, so the state of Florida is going to allow you to prorate, which is not allowed now.
Thank you for that explanation. Members, questions? Questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions, is there public testimony on the amendment? Seeing no public testimony, is there debate? Debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Alvarez, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I waive close.
Representative Alvarez has waived close. Members, is there any opposition to this amendment? See no opposition to this amendment. Let's show it is adopted. And let's move on to our third amendment. Representative Alvarez, you're recognized to explain amendment barcode 516019.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. FDAC and the Department of Environmental Protection, they both have programs that allow the state to purchase development rights on environmentally sensitive lands. Both agencies have identified efficiencies that will help speed up the process along for smaller purchases, specifically not requiring two appraisals for properties under $5 million. It used to be $1 million, and not requiring those projects to come before the land boards twice. It's an efficiency amendment. It's one that allows the process to go faster. It's something that we've heard here before us. That was a request, and that is the amendment.
Thank you for that explanation. Representative, members, questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment. Is there public testimony on the amendment? No public testimony on the amendment. Debate. Is there debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate on the amendment, Representative Alvarez, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Wave closer.
Seeing Representative Alvarez is closed, is there any opposition to the amendment? Seeing no opposition, let's show that amendment is adopted. Now let's move back onto the bill as amended. Is there public testimony on the bill? Looks like we have some. Courtney Larkin with Florida Farm Bureau Federation, waving in support. Melissa Villar with the Holistic Cannabis Community. Ms. Villar, you're recognized. My handwriting's just like yours.
Hi, again, I'm Melissa with the Holistic Cannabis Community. We are hemp cultivators, so I came to speak about the repeal of the Industrial Hemp Advisory Council. When we established the state hemp program, the rulemaking process was thorough with stakeholders. So really, the Industrial Hemp Advisory Council, you know, it really didn't contribute as much as the rulemaking process did. We have the most comprehensive rules and regulations for a hemp program in the state, so much so that the USDA mirrored rules and regulations after Florida's model. So we have, you know, packaging, labeling, you know, everything in rule. It's very comprehensive. Really, the only change that we want for the hemp program is a regulatory change regarding us being able to use our hemp cultivars versus pilot projects cultivars, because there are only, when the pilot project was began, only about six companies actually became pilot project partners, and now we have over 600 cultivators. And really, that's a regulatory change, because it's written fine about the hemp seed in statute, but it's a regulatory change we need to make, because, you know, the pilot projects were pushing for that. And again, I mean, the state hemp program is running absolutely wonderful. Based on consumer demand, we're growing and making the products that our consumers want. And we have one of the best, the highest quality testing standards in the country. We have the most purity control, quality control. You know, Florida cultivators and consumers expect the highest quality, and that's what we give them. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next in public testimony, we have Isabella Glarabino with the Florida Department of Agriculture. Waving in support. Thank you. Adam Bassford with Associated Industries of Florida, waving in support. Landon Hoffman with Florida Citrus Mutual, waving in support. Thank you. Trip Hunter is next with Florida Fruit and Vegetable Association, waving in support. Is there any further public testimony? See no further public testimony. Members, we're now going to move into debate on the bill. Is there debate? Representative Cassell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Alvarez, for coming to our pre-meeting this morning and really engaging in a great debate on this bill. I want to just, for the record, put some concerns that I have with regards to the bottled water portion, and I hope that we can get some of these answers and figure out the best way to handle this. So really, what we're doing in this bill, by changing the bottled water definition to a consumable, the goal of that is that our agencies here with this bill and universities will buy Florida first, and I definitely support that. The concern that I have, because of the benefit of sitting on all of the committees in this particular silo, specifically with regards to the Water Committee, you know, we know that increasing the demand of Florida water is going to have an impact on our aquifers, our springs. We have caps on our total maximum daily loads that we're not reaching, and we should not be reaching, knowing the information that we have with regards to that our springs are really not rebounding as quickly as we would like, and the depletion of our aquifer. So that the concern that I have, and I hope that we can continue to look at this issue and figure out the best way to make sure we do put Florida's first, but when it comes to the bottled water section, placing that demand on our bottled water companies here in Florida, on our springs, I do express concerns about that. So thank you for meeting with me, and I hope that we can continue to just work on that issue as the bill moves forward.
Members, debate. Debate on the bill. Any further debate? Seeing no further debate, Representative Alvarez, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Florida grows, we understand that we get more people, and more people mean more encroachment to our farmlands. And so this bill, to me, is a tip of the hat and the acknowledgement to the importance of not only the farmer in Florida and his or her place in our importance, not only in our food safety, but really our state and national security. You may not see it that way, but I want you to. And I want you to understand the importance of what we're delivering, not only in this team card, but in showing that we put Florida first and we put our money where our mouth is. Along with the technical things, it's important, but I think one of those things that we do is making sure that we represent those and we represent them well, and I'm proud to have done that today. Thank you for your time and your support.
Thank you for that close, Representative Alvarez. Missy, please call the roll.
Representatives Abbott?
Yes.
Alvarez? Yes. Antone?
Yes.
Bartleman?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Usada Cabrera?
Yes.
Cassell?
Yes.
Esposito?
Yes.
Hanshofsky?
Yes.
Looney?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Trunau?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Chair Buchanan?
Yes.
17 yes.
Members, by your vote, show the bill is reported favorably with the committee substitute. Congratulations, Representative Alvarez. Thank Great you, job. Members, that concludes our meeting agenda for the day. I do want to remind everyone next week is going to be a very robust agenda. So let's everyone in your calendar plan to be here for the entire block of time. That concludes our business here today. See no further business. Representative Steele moves we rise without objection. We are adjourned.